This is the E-Free Lethbridge Podcast. Welcome to the E-Free Lethbridge Podcast. It's the week of April 12th to 18th. I'm Levi Fraser. I'm your host today. With us, we've got the service pastor for the 9 a.m., the 11 a.m. service, the most community-minded person I've ever met, Mark Dick.
Hello, hello.
Love that, Mark.
Thank you.
We also got the 6 p.m. service pastor, the young at heart, Luke Watson.
Still young.
And the Wonder Woman extraordinaire, Glenda Postman.
Wonder Amen. Woman. H-E-P.
Wonder Woman. Well, don't have another title, hey?
No, stick with Wonder Woman.
Okay. We have a lot to get to in this podcast, but before we go too far, it's time for our fun morning question. So our fun morning question today is, if you could have one famous person join you, and this is a famous person who's living, hopefully, who could join you during this isolation right now, who would it be and why?
Paul Brandt.
Whoa, that was a good answer.
You
want
to think about that?
Yeah, think about Paul it for
Brandt,
a second.
Brad Paisley, number two, probably. No need to think.
Why?
You know what? You can
think about Paul Brandt with his hymn album, but also with Alberta Bound and all the country hits. And you could have some pretty awesome conversations with Paul. He's a believer. He sings country music. I mean,
it's good.
That's good.
Brad, it's an average answer.
If you wouldn't have thrown the he's a Christian, you could have a good conversation, I would say, you know what? I have Spotify. Paul Brandt has a channel on there. But
interesting, Mark.
Country music. Ugh.
Look at the difference though between a live country, you know, live country and then listen to it on Spotify. Like that is what kind of comparison was
that? Gonna walk around all day with his guitar.
I got a Spotify account.
All day?
Yeah, thank you.
You have one kid named after a country artist.
True. So, Ruthie won't like that, but absolutely.
Okay, and your Crazy. Second kid, not named after a country artist?
No, after a famous dog.
Yeah, that's right, Glenda's dog. We named Jack after Glenda's dog, Jack.
Also your grandpa, right?
Yeah, but let's go with the dog, Jack.
Actually, so my middle name is Brandt, spelled B-R-A-N-D-T.
No way. I did not ever know this.
Yes.
Levi, I love
After
that.
Paul Brandt.
So. I love that.
After Paul Brandt, really?
Yeah.
And then you named your kid after an artist as well.
I also named my kid after a musical artist, Bon Iver. So my son's name is Ivor.
You didn't know? Yes, Levi. You know what? Ruthie and I love the name Paisley. But for me, Ruthie walked down the aisle to a Brad Paisley song. So for me, that was...
Oh, awesome. Nice.
But Ruthie like doesn't like that everybody thinks that we named Paisley after a country singer.
We like it.
Can't blame her.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's now on live podcast.
Brand. I love that, Levi. Levi Brand.
Mark Dick, what are you going to say?
I would say I would say Bob Goff. Many of us are reading him right now. And he's conversationist all day, all the time. And super caring, loving for people. So it'd be like a continue to push that direction. My number two, we are watching a lot of cooking shows. So Bonnie is into cooking. I would pick Jet Atila. He's like a beast. We love watching him. He's funny and he's like a family guy.
Nice. There'd be
different kind of cooks maybe that we would, chefs we would get in our house.
But a chef is a great idea.
Yeah, that, geez, that's thinking, man.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the chef would be secondary because Bonnie kills it. She's like killing chef right now. So, yeah.
Man. That's great.
Cool. Who are you thinking about, Glenda?
You know, I just am a sucker for comedy. And also, I have a love of karaoke. So, I got to go with James Corden. I just think like car karaoke is the best. And he's funny. And I just think it'd be a great time. And my second would be Michelle Obama, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. I think she's a good.
It's a big reveal.
She would have a great
Democrat.
She would have a great she just have a great story. And I really respect her. So I think she'd be fascinating.
Yeah. And how about you, Levi?
We can't hear you, Levi.
Levi, you muted your mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so first I was going to say the Queen, but then I realized that my question was, they're going to come stay with me, and actually I just want to go stay at Buckingham Palace and like explore everything. So like cancel that. I think, and maybe this is not fair, but I'm going to say a couple. I want Chip and Joanna Gaines. So like
little home renovation project. Not
yeah,
a bad
we
idea.
Can renovate our house. Okay. She can decorate. Plus they're just like a really, like from what I can see, a fun couple to be with. And so it'd be like fun to have them during isolation.
Her cookbook's fantastic. She could come and cook you some food.
Yeah, exactly. We got some backyard work that needs to be done. Man. I don't know.
Well, that you guys are good. That's good thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Luke's just going to have good music in his house. It's good, though. You know what?
Mark, I was thinking you gave me a hard time with the Spotify account. I could read a Bob Goff book and then it's the same thing.
No, Bob Goff is like way more than just a book.
He is way more than a book. Amen.
So Paul Brett and Matt Paisley, man.
Good answers. Good answers.
I can just see like Brad Paisley or Paul Brandt in the corner of your house, like fingers bleeding from like playing. Like, please let me stop playing.
We're already saying that song.
Again.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
All right, guys, it's time to get to the message. So this past weekend was Easter. We had both our Easter service and then also our Good Friday services. And so there's quite a bit of content there that we can look at. But it's a different year. It's a different time for Easter. How did you guys spend your Easter weekend?
At home. It was unique this year, obviously, but wow. To be able to like worship a few times with the kids, sitting beside them with Bonnie on the couch, watching services, engaging in conversation with them. I feel like we, this year, because we're at home and because there's less responsibility on like a service for us as pastors, for me as a pastor, probably for the last 20 years on a Easter service, to be able to just worship, engage in conversation, expand on the different pieces. I would say we had so many like, great pieces in both the services, that there are so many like sound bites, I don't know, truths that were spoken in the services, to sit with the kids and like go over them, talk about them, that sort of stuff. I think for me that was unique this year, that I don't get that gift every year, that what's happening this year with regards to those kind of conversations, I'll miss when the world goes back to when That's me.
Cool.
Nice, Mark. We had a couple family Zoom chats. Well, that's kind of normal for me, actually, with the family in Ontario, right? You're usually on Easter weekend, you're making a phone call or whatever. So that was fantastic, though, to have everybody in the same place at the same time, I guess, on the screen.
Yeah.
So talk to Ruthie's family as well in Edmonton, Regina, Calgary, and Beachy, Saskatchewan. So
do they have internet in Beachy?
They got internet, Mark. Yeah, they got internet in that 50-person town.
I think I was one of the few people who were at the church Sunday morning, which was kind of unique to be there. And it reminded me that the church is different without people, that the body is the church. So
yeah.
It's not the building that's kind of special. It's the people. So I was reminded of that Easter morning. Sometimes I kind of feel like you have to muster up when you're going into these big holidays, like you got to kind of muster it up and like look for it. But this year I kind of thought it came, and maybe that's because we have a little bit more mental space in some ways in life. So I think it was just really the ideas of Easter really sat pretty deep. I'd say this particular holiday, dropped off food to our kids and played a game virtually with them, which was great. I mean, it's just great to see the kids and talk to our families a little bit. So it's great.
And I heard that some people did that. They would deliver the Easter meal to the
kids. That's what we did.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Little Easter baskets. And
we had KFC with Ian.
Nice. You know what? Live and learn. Can't go wrong with the Chicken Hut.
You can't.
Good business.
Okay, we are like trying our best not to go to like even fast food or anything like that, just because you never know what you're going to bring home. And so the girl who lives with us, it was her birthday last week. And so she really loves fried chicken. Well, who doesn't like fried chicken? But anyways, so we wanted to get Popeyes, but we decided that we weren't going to do that. So then I like pulled out the deep fryer, put it on the patio, and I like,
come on, Levi.
Did a copycat fried Popeyes fried chicken. And so we fried that. It took like 2 hours. I was frying chicken on our patio. And like, it was so good though.
Oh man.
Good. Some of the best
fried chicken.
Great idea.
Yeah.
So. We watch so many cooking shows. We want to get a deep fryer installed in right beside our sink so we can always deep fry everything.
I was so happy that I didn't do it in the house. Because I just reeked like oil.
And so, huge fire hazard those things are. We did a turkey one time. And it's like, oh man, deep fried turkey. It was amazing.
So good. Yeah.
You got to be careful.
My Easter.
That's awesome, Levi.
I think that like I miss the celebration piece. I'm a person who likes planning events and that kind of stuff. So I miss that. But we were still able to like be together, have our family time. It was cool because I wasn't as busy as previous years. So there is that like focus. So I think there's some benefit to doing it this way. Just, I don't know. I miss the big celebration.
Yeah, for sure. You know what though? I miss that as, of course, I miss the people piece of it as well. This year, I feel like the celebration piece from Good Friday to, which I felt was awesome, to Easter Sunday, which I think was amazing as well. The celebration piece was there for me this year. Different. Yeah. Like, cool. I'm with you, Levi. I like the big people together. I love that. I love family, all of those pieces. I love the lobby of people being together at the church. This year, it felt like the celebration piece was there. I don't know if we let up better. I think Glenda keyed on something that maybe we have a bit more mental space to think about what was actually happening sometimes, I think. But I feel like there was a celebration piece this year that I enjoyed different than I have in other years.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so the big picture of the message was Jesus has defeated death and is inviting us to live. And there was that key word, look again, that kind of came throughout our service. And it's referring back to Mary and Martha, kind of having a shocked feeling when they see that Jesus actually did raise from the tomb. Like it's empty and they had to like look again. So a question off of that, do you think there's significance that that it's women that actually came in and saw that Jesus was gone? Like they're the first ones to really witness this.
I think it's
absolutely
Glenda.
I think so. I think like this is, it's actually amazing to me that we have an idea that women, I think there has been an idea that women can't proclaim the gospel because of some ideas that, you know, that are coming from other scriptures or something. And I just think these are the women, these are the people who he sent to proclaim. Like he's not here, he's risen. So I think it's significant. These were people who didn't, who were just barely people, right, in society. So I think there's real significance in there and who Jesus honors. And
yeah. That's, you know what, that actually what you just said, Jesus, who Jesus honors. If you think about Jesus's life though, he didn't actually ever, like he didn't think of women that way, that they were just barely people. So that's unique that you said Jesus honored them, because I think that for me is a huge thing. But it's interesting, I think men would try to fix the problem. So where did Jesus go? How do we find him? How do we get this rock back in front of the tomb? What happened where women were like, hey, let's proclaim this. Let's talk about how this like fulfilled all the prophecy and like Jesus rose and this is awesome. So it's actually, yeah.
Yeah, I think of the women at Jesus's feet where he says, like, actually they get to be here. They get to be, to call me rabbi because they get to learn from me. So I think the way he elevated women is significant. Yeah.
Yeah. More than once. I think that's a great point.
Mark, you touched on this a little bit, but if you were in Mary or Martha's shoes, what would your expression be?
Yeah, that's I think that's like a man thing would be like to like search for him. Like, where do we find him? Where did he go? Where would what would have happened?
They seem to be surprised that he had risen. Like, I always think, why were they not standing outside being like, okay, 3 days, like we're giving this 3 days and then we're all going to be camped outside there waiting.
Yeah.
I mean, they really must have felt the defeat.
Mm.
That's, definitely. I think what
she was when like you crying said that. When she came up there, right?
Pardon? Yeah.
Mary was like heartbroken when she went to the tomb, it says, right?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus talked about rising from the dead, but I think it was pretty clear that nobody actually believed that that was going to happen, or maybe they missed it or whatever, right?
Like, but he had just raised Lazarus as well, right? Like, was that the last miracle before?
Right.
So I put myself, when you asked that, I put myself in the shoes of the disciples. If the disciple, if I were a disciple and walked up there, maybe I wouldn't have been as surprised. Or maybe I would have. Their response when they took him and put him on the cross was significant, but I shouldn't have been as surprised if I would have walked up there as a disciple of his. But if I walked up and saw the tomb, maybe I imagine I would have been surprised if the size of the rock and the like situation, the all of the like facts of it would have been somebody moved the rock, somebody rose from the dead. That in itself, those facts in itself, that would be surprising. That would have been, I would stand in awe probably for a bit.
Well, and our minds go to the logical, right? Not right, the supernatural. So our logic would be, who's moved the stone and what did they do with him? What did they do with his body?
Mm. That's precisely.
But our minds don't often go to the supernatural. Like, has there been intervention? Or we always are looking for the natural.
I feel like in awe is a good way to explain it. Maybe not as much surprise, because obviously they had been told about this, but just like it's actually true. Like, maybe they weren't at the point of full on doubt that it was going to happen, but they were just kind of like, okay, this will be really amazing if it does actually happen. And then it actually happens. And so they're like in awe, like shocked. In the same way, like in our own lives, have you guys ever been at a point, or maybe you currently are at a point where you feel like there's a defeat that you're facing? Like, you know what I mean? Like when the disciples, when Mary, Martha, when Jesus dies, they must have felt completely defeated. And so is there points in our lives where we also feel that kind of helplessness?
Wow.
Yeah, there is. There is lots of times where I think we feel helpless and think like, how's the stone going to get rolled away? How can this get solved? Because it requires other people's hearts to be changed, or requires my heart to be changed, or me to be a different person. So I think there's lots of times, I think worry and doubt are two of the things that I think about. And it's often the things that come to you, like what comes to you when you're trying to fall asleep at night, but your mind keeps like rolling around. Like, what are those things?
He said, can I go back to what you were talking about? We don't, or maybe I'll, you said something about our first thought, isn't to supernatural, isn't always to what God can do. So I would say yes, because there's like things that I think, I have to do or like that should change, or that I think that, I actually can't do. Like, and we can see my end in what's supposed to happen. And I think those are the places. Yeah. I think back to your question. Those are those sort of places for me where I see my end, that I don't see the, what God can do after that, the supernatural that has to happen. It's the fit, my faith in it, continues to grow.
Yeah, I think the control piece for me, Mark, would be a rock. Like, I remember when Ruthie got in a car accident a few years ago, and I was gone. And it was almost like I was confronted with, you can't do anything about this. You can't go and help. You can't, you just have to release this to God, in a sense. But I remember, I mean, it doesn't sound very significant, but that was a big, I can remember that as being a bit of a barrier or a rock in my life, was just giving up that control, right? I think every time you go to a funeral, you're confronted with that. right? That death of just, yeah.
Because it's the one thing that we don't get to pick. It's one of the things we don't get to pick, right? But it is those ways with any kind of worry or doubt that you experience or fear that you have that you just can't, you just don't seem to be able to muster up. We talked about mustering it up, muster up the strength to like move this big rock that we just don't have it. Like right, we actually are lacking in that.
Do you think, so you're talking about this big rock and it's almost like there's a weight to it. And so what is that stone? Like, why is it so heavy? Why can't it just be moved? So what is the stone? So if you're sitting on the other side and the stone isn't rolled away and you're feeling this fear and anxiety or worry, and you know that if you just move that stone, then you realize that Jesus actually has raised from the dead, that you will find victory in that. But the stone is actually what's keeping us from the realization. So what is that stone in our lives?
It's too heavy for us to move.
Big.
Nobody could have moved that stone on their own. Like not one man. There's not one man who could have moved that stone. So we can't move it. We can't control it. I can't control the faith or life of my kids or grandkids. I don't get to control that. I don't get to have a say in what that looks like. It's too heavy for me. It is only God, and it means I'm dependent actually on him.
Interesting. Yeah, I think the things that we can't do. And I would suspect it's different for everybody. Mm. Those things, right? The things that are our stones, you know, Glenda, great. I think that you're right. When we think about our kids, or when we think about our, you know, in your sense, grandkids, but that's their faith. We can't own it. They have to own it themselves. Jared's testimony on Sunday, right? That was, that spoke to that. But I think for everybody, that stone might be something different. Probably the control piece, the like, what I can do when I realize that in every situation, God can do way more for sure. Mm-hmm. He can move the stone, but in the situation, in the time, in our anxiety or fear, whatever it is, we see the stone and we're like, yeah, we can't do it.
I have a question of kind of in regards to this is we have a difference between Good Friday, what we talked about, and this idea of the cup of suffering that sometimes, and I felt like I remember when I was really sick and my appendix had ruptured, I was in the hospital for 31 days. And I remember saying to Jesus, like, I don't want to hold this cup of suffering anymore. Like, will you take it? And he said, you're going to hold it for a little while. And I remember him like saying that to me. And so I think, what's the difference between when he says, you need to hold this cup of suffering and I'm going to move this stone?
Hmm. Luke.
Yeah, I the processing on that question is just.
Yeah.
Well, tell us your processing.
I think Jesus did, if like, so I spoke on this. That suffering piece or the agony piece.
Right.
I think that Jesus asked, how many times did he ask, take it away, take three times in that, in like a, it seemingly feels like a short time because it was an evening and a night.
Yeah, that's good, Mark. Yeah.
But asked three times for God to take this cup of suffering away and he didn't.
Because it was God's will, right?
That's right.
He's like, but you've willed this. So how do we know, like, when we hold the cup of suffering and when we need to ask for a miracle of move the stone.
But I think even Jesus, he knew that, well, not your will, not my will, but your will when he prayed that, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say that Jesus was pretty tuned into God's will when he was living on earth.
Yeah.
And he still prayed for it to be removed from him. So
sometimes he wills for us to hold a cup of suffering. Like, will suffering for us? There's a big question for you, Luke.
Why me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you just posed that.
I think that in the midst of suffering, suffering happens. Since the fall, there is suffering in the world. And so I don't know if that's a question of if he wills that on us or not. Mm-hmm. But it is in existence. There's suffering. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, are we willed to sit in that suffering longer? I think maybe. There's growth there. There's a presence that we actually get to meet with him in the midst of suffering. But I think no matter what, we're still called to give it over to Jesus and ask for him to move the stone. Whether he moves the stone in our timing or not, we're still called to actually ask.
Yeah, I wondered if the lesson in this, is that we get to ask. We get to ask, will you take this cup? And that we get to really be in awe of when the stone is moved, like God's own work, and just happens because he has ordained it, that we just get to watch it and kind of be in awe.
So the stone is rolled away and Yeah, exactly. And we see this victory. So how do we live in that victory? Like, we've got it. So then what does that look like? How do we live in this?
I wonder if it makes us bolder. Like, knowing how a story ends makes us a little bold as we live in the in-between time, maybe.
I thought you were just using a pun, like a boulder.
Oh. Also would have been a great pun.
Well done. Yeah, I think there's like a different, like, there's a freedom or a life or a an expression, maybe boldness, maybe courage, maybe like a, we've seen the end. We know the end. We know if, you know, our that faith or that strength that we can receive, that like joy and life that we receive from the fact that we know, you know what, God rolled the stone away and Jesus gives us life, and that restoration of that relationship. I think that there's like a huge like turn in like in our best times, in our times when we can remember this stone is rolled away, when we like depend on the stone being rolled away, we're probably at our best. But we're, I would say in my like human nature, I see the stone still there. Sometimes I realize that the stone is like keeping me, I imagine that the stone is keeping me from something.
So you don't have, so that you wouldn't have defeat in that area.
Like, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't always, but when I stop to remember that there is that defeat, I think that I can live with a different sort of freedom in life than, and joy than that. That makes sense. I think it does make a difference.
I also too wonder, like, what are our eyes focused on? Like, is our eyes focused on the defeat, or is our eyes focused on like that he has risen, that we actually serve a living God who's like with us? And when we ask that question, like, he's right. So what our eyes are focused on is where we're headed. So I thought the challenge was really good that Jeff said something about, like, yeah, our eyes can be shifted off the defeats.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, friends, for sharing a little bit of your heart. We're going to move to On the Lighter Side. Okay. Our On the Lighter Side today, I just wanted to hear from you guys. What's something that stood out for you guys from the Easter service? What's the takeaway? What's something that's maybe a little bit lighter that's a takeaway for you guys?
Yeah, thanks, Levi. I just got to go back here because I was processing earlier in the podcast. I'm a slow processor. So when Glenda talked about the cup of suffering, I think it's pretty clear from Good Friday and Jesus in the garden that, yeah, like that was God's will for Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus said, not my will, but your will. So it's pretty clear that was God's will for Jesus, was to go and die on the cross. Now we like to take that and be like, okay, does that mean that all suffering then is God's will and God's purpose? And I just want to say no, right? Because we see in scripture, God uses all things to work all things together for good. But that doesn't mean that, like, oh, when something bad's happening in my life, this is God doing it to me. Can he use it for your good and for your growth and all that? Absolutely. But I think we love to use these universals. We love to make things universals that aren't always universals when we reach
out. Right.
So,
yeah, way to keep it light. Thanks.
that's so hope filled, Luke, because when we have these things that we're holding in our hands, if it's anxiety or fear,
right,
depression, Glenda, whatever we're holding in our hand, we know that he has victory over. And even though we are pushed under by suffering, he ultimately reigns over this, and he will bring things that we never knew would come because of his goodness to us. Like, we're not
Amen, Glenda.
You know what? Actually, that's it. the passage that kept coming up for me this Easter that rings true this morning even was that John 11 where he says, I'm the resurrection.
Yeah, me too.
The life. Those are probably on the, is it lighter? I don't know if it's lighter, but that's probably like a truth that this, you know what, we are Easter people, the resurrection and life. He love brings that, like the life, right? That's huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always think about like what is our focus? I've been thinking about what is my focus on? Is my focus on what can't be done or is my focus what has been done? Not even can be done, but has already been done. What has already been promised to me? What has already happened? That this, like Jesus is raised from the grave. He is alive. Yeah. And that living hope is so powerful. So if my eyes are fixed on that, then that's where I'm headed. So what are my eyes fixed on? Look again. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah. I think like it's the stone that actually has the weight and the resurrection brings lightness. Mm-hmm. So I think even through our conversations today, that's really my takeaway is that there is lightness with God. He does carry these burdens for us. And even in the midst of crisis or chaos or suffering, he's still there meeting with us. And he's still walking alongside carrying these things. Maybe it's not completely gone out of my life, the suffering that I'm going through, but he's still walking alongside and carrying that burden.
You know, the other night I actually felt some anxiety. I was laying in bed. My heart was racing. And I don't know if you've had anxiety, but it's like a domino. One physical symptom or one mental thing like kind of tips the whole row of dominoes and you can't really stop it. So it feels really scary. I was just laying there and I was just praying and I just said, God, where are you? Like, can you just give me a picture of where you are? And he just gave me this picture of him being so near to me. I almost thought it was dark in my room. I thought if I open my eyes, I will see him. Mm-hmm. Like I will physically see him right next to me. So just a reminder of how his nearness to us, what a difference that makes.
Yeah. Cool. So awesome. All right, friends, that's all we got for you. If you want to DM us, contact us with what your takeaway from the Easter weekend was, we would love that. Maybe we'll share it on our next episode. But for now, that's all we got. Talk to you later.
Awesome.
I don't know what a DM is, but okay, bye.